Okay, I need to say this out loud. We keep saying transformer architecture like everybody in the room already has the definition installed, and I'm not sure we've ever actually done that. Also, how many episodes in are we now, and we're just admitting this on air?
Which is very on brand for us, honestly.
But yeah, it's time. If a term is this load-bearing, we should stop waving at it like it's obvious and actually say what it is.
And before we get fancy with it, I want the boring version. Because every time people say transformer, half the time they mean the architecture, and half the time they mean the whole modern model family built on top of it.
Right, and that's the first useful cleanup.
Transformer architecture is the underlying design, and people also casually say transformer or transformers to mean models built with that design. Same thing in practice, just different levels of zoom.
Okay, then give me the picture. Like, if I'm a newcomer and I've heard the word but never actually felt it click, what am I supposed to imagine?
Picture a room full of index cards.
Each card is one token in the sequence, and instead of reading them in a strict line, every card can glance at every other card and mark what matters. So if the last word depends on a noun from the start of the sentence, the model doesn't have to drag that information through a long chain of steps.
So it's basically not stuck doing the whole one word at a time thing. That's the part that always felt weird to me, because language clearly doesn't behave like a little conveyor belt.
Exactly. The old sequential style, like a recurrent neural network, processes left to right and carries a hidden state forward.
A neural network is just a stack of learned layers that turn input into useful representations, but the Transformers version is built to let the whole sequence interact in parallel.
And that parallelism is not just a speed trick.
It changes what the model can easily notice because it can directly compare any token to any other token instead of hoping the information survives a long chain of updates.
Okay, but the room of index cards thing only works if the cards know where they are. Otherwise, everything is just a pile.
Yeah, exactly.
That's where positional encoding comes in. Attention by itself does not know order, so the model gets extra position information added in, which tells it which token came first, second, later, whatever.
Let me make sure I'm not hand-waving past that. A token is just the unit the model reads, and an embedding is the vector it turns that token into, right?
Right. An embedding is a learned numeric representation of a token, so instead of a word being a symbol, it becomes a point in a vector space the model can work with. Then positional information gets mixed in so the model doesn't confuse dog bit man with man bit dog.
That is such an exploring next sentence, by the way. We had to say mixes in because otherwise the whole thing sounds like magic.
A little, yeah.
But the core move is simple. Token meaning lives in the embedding, and token order lives in the position signal. The transformer needs both because meaning without order is mush.
Okay, now we can finally say the word people actually mean when they say this stuff, attention. We did a whole episode on attention, episode 607, so I'm not making you rebuild that whole house, but give me the one-line version.
Attention is a mechanism that lets one token decide how much to look at each other token.
Internally, it does that with query, key, and value projections. A query asks what I'm looking for, keys describe what each token offers, and values are the information that gets pulled through if the match is strong.
Right.
Then a softmax turns the match scores into a distribution, so the model is effectively weighting which parts of the sequence matter most for that token at that moment.
Okay, why does that help so much compared with recurrence? Because I can already hear myself saying cool weighted lookup table and then getting lost.
Because with recurrence, the model has to keep compressing the past into a running state.
With self-attention, each token can directly inspect the whole sequence, so long-range relationships are much easier to represent. Also, the map is friendlier to parallel computation, which is a huge reason these models train well at scale.
Self-attention means the tokens are attending inside the same sequence, yeah?
Yeah, that's the exact meaning.
And multi-head attention means you don't do one single attention pass and call it a day.
You run several in parallel, each head learning a different slice of the relationship space.
Like one head is maybe tracking syntax and another is tracking who refers to whom and another one is just quietly being useful in a way nobody can name.
That's the right vibe.
The heads don't come with labels, but in practice, they often specialize in different patterns. One can focus on local dependencies, another on long-range links, another on structural cues. The point is that a single attention pattern is too narrow, so you give the model several views. And that stack of attention blocks gets repeated through layers. Each layer takes the current representation, runs attention, mixes in a feed-forward transformation, and refines the representation a little more. So the model isn't just looking once. It's reinterpreting the sequence over and over.
Let me slow that down because I think that's where people start nodding and then drift. You're saying the first layer makes a rough pass, then the next layer works on the output of that pass, and so on, so the model can build up more abstract relationships?
Exactly. Early layers tend to pick up simpler or more local patterns. Later layers can combine those into more abstract relationships. That's why the architecture is so flexible. It's not one giant lookup, it's repeated refinement.
Okay. And this is the part where I want the show to stop pretending the word transformer is singular in practice, because there are a few shapes of it people actually ship.
Yeah. The original paper had an encoder and a decoder. The encoder reads the input, the decoder produces the output. In modern language models, decoder-only transformers are the common generation setup, while encoder-only systems are more about understanding and representation.
I like that you said modern language models instead of making it feel like a museum label, because what people actually use now is the thing that ships.
Exactly. And that's what matters, because the architecture is flexible enough to be used in different ways without changing the core idea. The core idea is still attention over tokens plus position plus stacked layers.
Okay, can we make it concrete with actual systems? Because this is where it finally stops being abstract for me.
Sure. The transformer backbone is what's under a lot of the models we talk about all the time, like GPT class systems, Claude, and Llama. Those are all built on transformer ideas, even when the details around them differ.
And that's the part that matters product-wise. It's not that one vendor had a cute trick and everyone copied the sticker. It's that the architecture became the default because it actually scales into real products.
Right. And we've seen the same pattern beyond plain text. Vision transformers use the same basic architecture on image patches instead of words, and recent work keeps pushing variants into traffic forecasting, autonomous driving, and other sequence-heavy settings. The pattern is broader than language now.
Right, and that graph-aware traffic thing is a nice example, because it's not just throw a transformer at it and hope. It's the architecture adapted to a problem with structure, which feels a lot more honest than the usual demo theater.
Yeah, and that honesty matters. Transformers work because they're good at learning relationships across a set of tokens or states, but you still have to represent the problem well. The architecture is powerful, not magical.
There's the sentence I was waiting for. The architecture is powerful, not magical, which is also a very good summary of our entire podcast brand.
Unfortunately, yes. But the reason it became the backbone is pretty mechanical. It parallelizes well on modern hardware, it captures long-range dependencies cleanly, and it scales with more data and compute in a way that kept producing better results.
Okay, now hit me with the catch, because there is always a catch, and you are going to get suspicious in about 5 seconds.
The catch is the cost of attention. In the plain version, every token can look at every other token, which means the work grows roughly with the square of sequence length. So if you double the context, you don't just do twice the work. You do a lot more than that.
That's the bit people hand wave away when they say, just make the context longer. It sounds so clean until the bill shows up.
Exactly. And that's why people keep inventing approximations, sparse variants, and architectural tweaks. The base transformer is elegant, but the length problem is real, especially when sequences get huge.
So in our little index card room, everybody is peeking at everybody, and that's great until the room gets so big you need a stadium and a spreadsheet.
That's a better way to say it than I would have. And it's also why the architecture wins in one regime and starts feeling expensive in another. Short to medium sequences? Very strong. Massive sequences? You start paying. Exactly. If you remember one thing, remember this. A transformer is a neural network built so tokens can look across the whole sequence at once, using attention plus position information plus stacked layers. Everything else is just the consequences of that daring.
Okay, that finally feels like a thing I can say without immediately following it with three caveats, which for us is basically a holiday. Also, I cannot believe this is how we're spending a Wednesday.